are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucs, at Jarko underscore Bucs, at DH82 underscore Bucs, and at Bucs underscore Nation. It's draft week, everybody. I know we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for draft week to finally arrive, and alas, it is here. So in the spirit of that, over the course of the next 3 days, David and I are going to bring you a full three-round mock draft. We've been working really hard on this. Put a strain on our friendship at one point. We'll get to that later. But yeah, we have gone through and we have made every pick in the first three rounds. I took the odd number picks. David took the even numbered picks. But when it came to the Buccaneers, we had to hash it out and come to a collective agreement for the Buccaneers. So neither one of us got to individually make those picks, but we individually made all the other picks of the draft. So with that in mind, David, I'm going to kick it over to you to get started on how this mock draft shook out.
Yeah, so I mean, so with the top five picks, like you said, James, you had the odd-numbered picks, I had the even. So the three of the first five picks we made were yours. And started off at number one, you went with Joe Burrow out of LSU, the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously an easy pick to make, I think, at the end of the day. Nobody expects the Bengals to do anything but pick Joe Burrow. I mean, Peyton Manning apparently has already had conversations about how it's going to be leading a team who, as he put it, earned the top pick in the NFL draft as a rookie. So hopefully Joe is getting ready to go back to Ohio for good, at least for a little while, at least for the next 5 years or so, you figure. And then it stayed, you know, everything followed suit. Chase Young to the Washington Redskins at number two. Jeff Okuda, number three, to the Detroit Lions. I took Jedrick Wills, the offensive tackle, to the New York Giants there at pick number four. And I know that was kind of a point where I've seen a few mock drafts lately send Isaiah Simmons to the New York Giants. And it's not that I don't like that pick or wouldn't necessarily agree with that pick even. But I kind of just go back to Dave Gettleman and what he did, especially last year, right, with the Giants taking Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones not considered the type of talent to be drafted as high as he was drafted. But basically what Gettleman did is he identified a team need that they needed to get their quarterback of the future that they felt they could move forward with, and that one was available that they felt comfortable taking that high. So I kind of feel like he's going to do the same. And Isaiah Simmons, the more dynamic, more electric player overall. But if you're going to have a quarterback like Daniel Jones who has some pocket issues and some issues securing the ball when he's under pressure, you have to protect him. And going out and getting an offensive tackle like Jedrick Wills out of Alabama is going to do that. So I don't know if that's really considered a surprise. What I would call the first surprise of our mock draft is one that we've seen in some other places, but still it's kind of surprising to see. And that is the Miami Dolphins at number five, taking quarterback Justin Herbert over quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. And, you know, honestly, my first thoughts about it, I've gone back and forth myself with these two picks and these two quarterbacks. And Coach Flores, you know, down in Miami, comes from New England. And so he's been a part of a successful franchise, a successful operation. And he's kind of seen the things that need to happen in order to be successful in the National Football League. And the kind of quarterback play that he's used to seeing on his successful team is more what Justin Herbert's going to bring to the field than what Tua Tagovailoa is going to bring to the field. And I know it's not quite that simple, and you expanded on that yourself while we were doing this draft. But when I think about it, the more things change, right, the more they stay the same. And while Coach Flores is his own guy and has his own style, and I appreciate that and everything else, think about the quarterbacks he went into last year with. Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen. They're both quarterbacks that stylistically, not talent-wise or anything like that, but stylistically would compare closer to a Tom Brady than they would, you know, a Cam Newton, say, you know, just for example. So a quarterback like Justin Herbert seems to kind of fit in Coach Flores' wheelhouse as a comfortability factor more than a guy like Tua Tagovailoa. And then, of course, there's the other stuff that you were talking about. But those are just kind of my thoughts on the top five as we unfolded this thing.
Yeah, and you know, going back before I talk about picking Justin Herbert over Tua, going back to the Giants pick, I think this is a prime spot for the Giants to be able to trade down. I should have said this at the top of the show, and I forgot. We did not do any trades in this mock, which we all know there's going to be plenty of trades happening. But for the sake of this exercise, it was just the two of us trying to map out trades. Would have just been too much. So, you know, I liked the pick of Jedrick Wills to be there and help protect Daniel Jones, but I could see the Giants trading down. Now, as for Herbert, you know, what you said about Flores and coming from New England and everything, that was all part of it. The other big part is the medicals. They haven't been able to get these guys in the building. And I think when you're a GM of a team, you really typically only get one shot on drafting a quarterback like this. I realize I'm saying this on a Buccaneers podcast where Jason Light's number one overall pick as a quarterback is no longer with the team. But Justin Herbert is the more ready guy from what we know right now to be able to go in and play. We know about Tua's injury history. We know how gruesome his injury last year was. And I think that might scare the Dolphins off a little bit, and they're going to play it a little more safe rather than take the risk of drafting Tua. It seems like there is no such thing as a sure thing, but it seems like the safer, better pick for Miami at this point in time than taking the risk on Tua.
Our Locked On Bucks 3-round mock draft as we head towards the 2020 NFL draft. Not to be confused, guys, with the Locked On NFL Podcast Network mock draft that we did with all 32 NFL show hosts picking for their specific teams. If you guys haven't checked that out yet, please do. It's a lot of fun to do. And from all the feedback we've gotten so far, it's been a lot of fun to listen to. I know, James, you and I have both enjoyed listening to the show that they put up with Brian Peacock, Matt Williamson, and the draft show guys have put on. Even though we already knew what was going to happen, we had all the spoilers, yet it was still an entertaining product to listen to. So if you haven't already, as you build up for the draft, please go check that out. But picking back up with the first round of our Locked On Bucks mock draft, where James and I made the picks for all 32 teams in the first 3 rounds of this year's selection meeting, we just got done covering the first 5 picks, and opening up the next 5, or the remaining part of the top 10, rather, is Tua Tagovailoa. The Los Angeles Chargers watch Justin Herbert go to the Miami Dolphins at pick number 5. So they pick up and they say, hey, your decision is our good fortune. And the way you kind of look at it, the Chargers are going with a mobile quarterback either way, or a guy that has athleticism, because they're either going with Tyrod Taylor or they're going with Tua Tagovailoa in this situation. So from a coaching standpoint, you can kind of keep your system, for the most part, equal to each other or the same no matter what quarterback ends up playing. Moving to pick number 7, the Carolina Panthers go with Isaiah Simmons, who we've already kind of talked about might be rumored to the New York Giants. I've seen some mocks doing that, as well as them being a trade-back candidate. But the way that the board fell, the Carolina Panthers get a new edge defender, and Isaiah Simmons, a guy who can kind of really do anything if you ask me about it. The Arizona Cardinals, the pick number 8, take offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs, followed by the Jacksonville Jaguars taking interior defensive lineman Derek Brown, considered probably the best interior defensive lineman in this class. And then, James, at pick number 10, the Cleveland Browns select offensive tackle Andrew Thomas out of Georgia. And I know that some people are going to be a little bit surprised by this, simply because that's the pick that has been mocked to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for pretty much the entire offseason, because usually it's Mekhi Becton going to the Cleveland Browns. I made this pick. As we said in the beginning of the show, I made the even number picks. Cleveland has the 10th pick, so that was my pick. And the reason I did that, it's similar to what you said, James, with Justin Herbert over Tua Tagovailoa. There are rumors out there, and I don't want to twist anything too much, but the rumors are that Mekhi Becton either failed or what was it, like a suspicious drug sample or drug testing. I can't remember the exact terminology, but basically something fishy went on with Mekhi Becton's drug test at the NFL scouting combine. Here's the problem. Because, one, we don't know what kind of drug he allegedly tested positive for, may have had a hint of in his system. Again, we don't know the full details, at least I don't. But these interviews that these teams are conducting are being done over Zoom, Skype, what have you, FaceTime, you know what I mean? They're not getting the warm and fuzzy, the in-the-room opportunities that they like to do with some of these guys. And Mekhi is not getting the opportunity to either explain this away or talk to people or give them reassurances. Now, I know the NFL lowered, you know, or loosened their grip on some of the drug policies, but I have to believe that in a time like this, in a situation where NFL execs, GMs, and scouts are not able to get as hands-on and face-to-face with these prospects like they usually do, something as worrisome as that is enough that if Andrew Thomas is your 4th tackle, Mekhi Becton is your 3rd, you probably take your fourth guy over your third instead of rolling the dice on that drug issue, especially, honestly, if you're looking at a roster like the Cleveland Browns with Baker Mayfield, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., Myles Garrett coming off of his stuff. The last thing you need in that locker room is more drama, and I'm not saying Mekhi is going to bring it, but he doesn't have the opportunity to prove to teams that this isn't a problem, this isn't a big thing. The Cleveland Browns have been through this before. I just don't think in this situation with the limitations they have this year that that's probably a move they're going to make. So I give them Andrew Thomas, offensive tackle out of Georgia.
Yeah, again, it goes back to better safe than sorry. And you bring up a great point about the Browns locker room. The last thing they need is more drama. And, you know, I agree completely. If they have Mekhi Becton and Andrew Thomas anywhere close to each other in the ranking, you go with the safer option. You go with the known versus the unknown as far as this this drug test or whatever it was for Mekhi Becton. Again, I hate to see Isaiah Simmons go to the Carolina Panthers, but you know Tristan Wirfs, Derek Brown, Andrew Thomas, too. You know, I don't disagree with any of these picks or where they landed. Tristan Wirfs go down to Arizona, help protect Kyler Murray and give him some time to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. Derek Brown to Jacksonville. You know, they're in rebuild mode. And you know, we always talk about you want to start in the trenches. I think Derek Brown is a great fit down there. Moving over to picks 11 through 13 before the Buccaneers get on the clock, we start to see some of the wide receivers come off the board here at pick number 11. The New York Jets take wide receiver Jerry Jeudy out of Alabama. The Las Vegas Raiders, they go with the speedster CeeDee Lamb out of Oklahoma. And then San Francisco, who traded away DeForest Buckner to the Indianapolis Colts, they find his replacement sitting there in Javon Kinlaw out of South Carolina. So those are the next three off the board as we head into the Buccaneers pick. You know, we take a look at some of the options here for the Bucs. Now, there is Mekhi Becton still sitting there, and do the Buccaneers take a chance on Becton with the potential issues with the drug test, even though now with the CBA, like let's say hypothetically, you know, this was a positive test for marijuana. Well, with the new CBA, that doesn't really matter anymore. But is there something a little bit more there? We're not really sure. You know, you take a look at Mekhi Becton. You still have Kalavon Chaisson sitting there, Henry Ruggs III, if you really wanted to bolster the wide receiver room. But the biggest question is, do the Buccaneers take that chance on Mekhi Becton with the unknown?
I mean, I think that's really the question of the evening. You know, we saw teams go through this with Laremy Tunsil, and unfortunately, they didn't have the time to really react to it. And again, it's the question is going to be, what was the positive test for, or the, you know, the whatever you, I don't, again, I don't know what the details are to it, but whatever the rumored problem was with the drug test, what were the specifics to that? And the teams, I'm sure, are aware of what that is or are familiar. And, you know, the ones who are really concerned about it have probably reached out and kind of, you know, said, hey, you know, give us an answer on this or whatever. But the issue is somewhat twofold, right? So on one hand, you know, if it was THC and he's like, hey, listen, you know, towards the end of the season, you know, a friend had a birthday party or something where we were, it's not illegal, da da da. You know, I didn't think it would be in my system anymore, you know, so on and so forth. So it's okay. Well, like you said, the marijuana policies have been kind of lessened and it's not as restrictive. But at the same time, you know, we've heard this for years and years and years. And James, you and I heard it time and time again when we were in Indianapolis. This is one big job interview. And so on one hand, you came into a job interview knowing that you're one of the top four offensive tackles and you risked doing something like this. You know, so it kind of puts into a light of, well, if you're willing to risk that at this moment where your life is literally about to change, what are you willing to risk after you get the money? After you have the contract, after everything is signed, you know, what are you willing to risk and what could that lead to, and et cetera. And you don't want to get too, you know, wound up, but you don't want to get, you know, overly concerned about it because there is too far to be worried about it, right? But that's where the conversations come in, and having those conversations over Zoom, over Skype, over FaceTime, they can be effective, sure, you know, but it really is a little bit harder, I think, to get a feel for a person when you can't read the body language in person. You're seeing it in 2D versus 3D in the flesh. So that is a little bit of a problem. And when you look at the board, I mean, we've seen Henry Ruggs III get mocked to the Buccaneers before. And as much as wide receiver isn't a day one need, at least on the radar for most people who cover the Bucs or around the Bucs or fans of the team, you can't deny, man. I mean, the excitement that this offense would have with Tom Brady at quarterback, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Henry Ruggs III running around that football field, that would be an electric offense. You know, to say the least. Kalyvon Chaisson, you already mentioned, a huge leader, you know, guy award number 18 at LSU, a guy you know you can rely on. And then there's this fabled top five, James. The Buccaneers, it's been reported, they feel like there are five elite offensive linemen in this year's draft class, or top shelf offensive linemen, however you want to word it. Who's that fifth guy? Because if that fifth guy is Josh Jones or Austin Jackson, and again, you're in the situation the Browns are. If you've got Mekhi Becton, who's maybe your third or fourth offensive tackle on the board with this potential drug issue, but you've got Austin Jackson or Josh Jones who you feel is in the same tier, but at the bottom of that tier, do you pull the trigger on one of those guys? So I think that's the magic question, but I think the real part of this for the Bucs, if this situation comes up, is, for one, is there any clarification between now and draft night? That's number one. If there's clarification, it's really not an issue. But if there's not clarification or not comfortable clarification, who's that fifth guy? I think that's the biggest part of this question when Mekhi Becton is sitting on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like you said, it goes back to exactly what the Browns went with. You have Josh Jones, which is what we've heard, that the Buccaneers consider Josh Jones part of the top five of the elite offensive tackles. Do they avoid that risk and go ahead and go with the safer pick? But David, I mean, I think we've chatted about it enough, and I think it's time to let everyone know who we have the Buccaneers taking at pick number 14. We are going through the first round of a three-round mock draft here on the Locked On Bucs podcast, where David and I have gone through every single pick of the first three rounds without any trades. I've made the odd number picks. David has made the even number picks, but we've come together to discuss the Buccaneers pick. And what we've decided here at pick number 14 is the Buccaneers will take offensive tackle Mekhi Becton out of Louisville. And I think, David, what this boils down to is the kid probably made a mistake. We don't know the details of it, but Bruce Arians very much believes that, you know, you don't discount somebody as a person or as a player because of a mistake. This is a guy that took his chance on Tyrann Mathieu, and it proved to be one of the best decisions of his career. And I think with the Bucs, the way they look at the how this board fell, the risk, you know, is worth it as far as the reward is concerned. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at pick number 14 take Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, and I think when you're looking at investing a top 10 pick in an offensive lineman, one with, you know, when there's a little bit of a blip on the radar, that's something worth kind of pausing and saying, okay, maybe we flip-flop our order. Maybe our third guy becomes our fourth guy and we move on. That's what, you know, that's what we have the Cleveland Browns. And when you're the Buccaneers talking about a top 15 pick and picking at number 14, you're kind of in that crossroads, right? You need to get the talent that you need to get you over the hump. And you feel like you've done that with Tom Brady, but you do have to keep him upright because he's not mobile. He's not escaping the pocket the way that Jameis Winston did. So you got to make that pocket as strong as possible. If this was a hot test for cocaine or methamphetamine or something like that, I feel like this wouldn't be a rumor behind the scenes. I feel like this would be something that's blasted on, you know, ESPN, Ian Rappaport is on it, and et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like because this is kind of a rumored, not even a confirmed thing as far as I can tell, I feel like some of it might be a little bit of smokescreen. You know, this is that time of year where smokescreens are very popular. So it could be that. And we may actually see the Cleveland Browns take Mekhi Becton at 10. And, you know, at 14, hopefully Andrew Thomas sitting there. The Bucs don't even have an issue. But if the situation were to arise the way that it has in our scenario, I think this is absolutely the right move, which is why we came to this decision, and I'm comfortable with it. I feel like he's the better of, you know, the availables. Austin Jackson, Josh Jones, Mekhi Becton. You want Mekhi Becton. He's going to come in immediately. He's going to be your starting right tackle. Maybe in the future he can move over, but I don't know. Honestly, man, you might want to just keep him at right tackle, look at a future investment in the left tackle position. And then you also look at your locker room. You have a lot of guys on this team, especially on the offensive line. You know, Alex Kappa is a guy who hasn't been in any trouble. You know, only 2 years in the league, but he hasn't been in any trouble. Ali Marpet, a consummate professional. Ryan Jensen's been doing this for a minute, not getting in trouble. Getting some flags here and there, got it, but he's not getting in trouble. Donovan Smith, say what you want about his pass plot, his pass protection, his run blocking, whatever. The dude hasn't been suspended. He hasn't missed any games. So he's a guy that you can have. So you have a lot of really good people around this young guy who made this mistake, like you said, James. And I really feel like that's what it is. And again, I've kind of always gone back to it. If we're going to call these guys kids and amateurs at college, then we have to kind of hold them that kind of a standard. And I don't want to, you know, keep this guy from getting a job because he made an amateurish mistake in the job getting process. Slipping four spots is a punishment, believe it or not. But there's still no reason that Mekhi Becton needs to slip out of, you know, the first round or not get drafted at all because of a mistake, especially when we're going to consider them amateurs.
All right. Well, David, going over the next 10 picks, we're gonna rapid fire up to pick 25 here. Number 15, the Denver Broncos. They go back to chalk with wide receiver Henry Ruggs III. The Falcons take cornerback C.J. Henderson. The Dallas Cowboys get some help on the edge with Kalavon Chaisson. Miami, who got their quarterback in Justin Herbert earlier in the first round, they get some protection for him, and they take Josh Jones, the offensive tackle. The Las Vegas Raiders, they go with cornerback Christian Fulton. The Jacksonville Jaguars, again, trying to rebuild that defense where they've shipped pieces and parts all over the place. They get some help on the back end with cornerback Trayvon Diggs. The Philadelphia Eagles are doing cartwheels and backflips as wide receiver Justin Jefferson falls right to them at pick number 21. The Minnesota Vikings, with their pick that they acquired from Buffalo, they get some help in the secondary with safety Xavier McKinney. A little bit of a surprise here. The New England Patriots draft their quarterback of the future, Jordan Love, out of Utah State. The New Orleans Saints stay in the state of Louisiana, taking linebacker Patrick Queen, and Minnesota back on the clock again, and they are able to get a replacement for Stephon Diggs in wide receiver Denzel Mims. So, you know, the Falcons, they're looking at a division where they're facing the Saints, they're facing the Bucks, they're facing some pretty serious wide receivers. And, you know, we've heard from quite a few people now that the Atlanta Falcons are very interested in cornerback C.J. Henderson out of Florida. I really think Josh Jones is going to develop into a solid offensive tackle in this league. So for Miami to get him here at 18, when he could have been the pick for the Buccaneers at 14, I think is a great, great value pick. And then, of course, the Philadelphia Eagles, they need that number one guy. And I can't really think of anyone better for Carson Wentz than somebody like Justin Jefferson, who's just as sure-handed a receiver as you're going to find coming into this draft.
Yeah, I really, really like Justin Jefferson. Really do not like seeing him go to the Philadelphia Eagles. But, hey, kudos to Eagles fans. They probably have a really good wide receiver there to pair with Carson Wentz for a long, long while. And then the New England Patriots getting Jordan Love, you know, that's something we've seen before. And, you know, when it happened, it's not something I was surprised about. But, hey, you know, it's still not something you want to see come to fruition. But moving on from pick number 25 into pick number 26 through the end of the first round, the Miami Dolphins come back on the clock again, and they grab safety Grant Delpit out of LSU. In theory, possibly kind of replace the coverage skill they lost when they sent Minkah Fitzpatrick to the Pittsburgh Steelers. At 27, the Seattle Seahawks beef up their offensive line with Austin Jackson out of USC. Kenneth Murray, the linebacker out of Oklahoma, goes to the Baltimore Ravens at 28. At 29, the Tennessee Titans take cornerback Jeff Gladney out of TCU. Wide receiver T. Higgins from Clemson goes to the Green Bay Packers. San Francisco 49ers at pick 31 take wide receiver Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. Go Sun Devils. And then with the final pick in the first round and the final pick of this episode, the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champions, take cornerback Jalen Johnson out of Utah. James, Brandon Ayuk is the pick that kind of stands out from this last batch for me, because when the San Francisco 49ers came back up on the clock, or came on the clock early in the first round at pick 13, your pick, right, an odd number, I immediately just kind of assumed, honestly, that you were going to go with Henry Ruggs III. The 49ers have a Super Bowl caliber team, obviously, because they made it to the Super Bowl. But if we've seen anything in NFL history, is that as hard as it is to make it to the Super Bowl, it's even harder to make it back to the Super Bowl. And losing Emmanuel Sanders, even though he's lost step, even though he's a little bit older, is going to hurt. So I figure Henry Ruggs III was a slam dunk pick for them. you went a different direction with Javon Kinlaw. Can't really hate the pick, just not the pick I would have made. So then to see them come all the way back and to see a guy like Brandon Ayuk sitting on the board for them really kind of shows the depth or showcases the depth of the wide receiver group, how many of these players can come in year one and potentially make an impact. Because what the Niners got was a combination of Javon Kinlaw and Brandon Ayuk instead of a potential combination of, I don't know, Henry Ruggs III, which is great, and Ross Blacklock, who's a significant downgrade from Javon Kinlaw, at least in year one. So I think that you did right by the San Francisco 49ers in this mock draft by getting those two players to pair up in the first round versus the two that I probably would have gotten.
Yeah, I think it was a matter of making sure I was taking advantage of the depth of wide receiver. I knew it was a big need, but you can't pass on a guy like Javon Kinlaw when you just traded away one of your best defensive players and a captain of your team. You're not going to find that kind of impact defensive player at 31 the way you can find an impact wide receiver at 31. And I was really glad that you took T. Higgins for the Green Bay Packers, because I personally am not a big fan of T. Higgins. So I was really excited to see Brandon Ayuk sitting there for the Niners at pick number 31. So David, let's, you know, we're up against the clock now. And so you take a look at some of the talent that's falling into round two that we're going to talk about tomorrow on Tuesday. Of course, all the running backs are there. Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You still have some of the best safeties as far as Kyle Duggar. You still have Ashton Davis out there. Wide receiver depth, still solid. Michael Pittman Jr. is still there. Jalen Reagor is still there. I mean, they're still absolute day one starters to kick off our round two tomorrow on Tuesday's episode.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the running back situation. I want to see no running backs won in our first round, which I was kind of surprised that. I figured we would probably find a way to squeeze one running back in there, but none of them went in the first round. So I'm really excited to see just how this running back situation shakes out in the second round, because we're trying to do this as unbiased as possible. We're trying to do this to where we evaluate the teams. We look at it, you know, I mean, James, I think that first round took us, what, about a good hour and a half to actually get done going through those 32 picks, because we're taking our time. We're looking up, you know, projected depth charts, needs, draft profiles, et cetera, making sure that we're getting this as right as we can. You know, covering the Buccaneers closely, we can kind of handle that conversation easily. But when it comes time for the Detroit Lions to pick in the second round, who are we going to pick? Who's going to go up there? Why are they going to go up there? That's going to be the question. So the running back issue has to be figured out. I feel like we're probably going running back in round two. I think that's probably a safe bet. It's just going to be who and how does it unfold. And then, yeah, I mean, one of my favorite safeties in this class is Ashton Davis. Obviously, if we target a running back in the second round, we're not probably getting Ashton Davis. So see where he lands, because throughout this entire process, you get your favorite players, and then you kind of watch them, you know, like the Derwin Jameses of the world. You want to watch their career where they land, even if they don't land with the team you cover closely. So, you know, I'll be on the lookout for guys like him as well.
All right. And of course, we will have round two coming up for you tomorrow. But until then, please make sure you're checking out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCo_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. If you haven't already, please go check out the Locked On NFL Network mock draft over on the Locked On NFL channel. 6 episodes, including a round two preview for teams that didn't get a pick in round one. Really, really great job by everyone involved there. It's a really fun listen. I do highly recommend it. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Hope you enjoyed watching The Last Dance last night as we start to watch a little bit of wonderful Michael Jordan coverage. David does not approve. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, and we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.